to earn a living. You probably own a business, work for one, or want to start one. Business is central to your life. But do most business shows really speak to you?
Today on the show, the $1 billion valuation of
Balogun and Broad does. Let's talk about the stock market and Alaba market. Let's talk about share IPOs and diesel supply LPOs. Let's talk about Broad Street.
The Nigeria Stock Exchange recorded an all-time high of
and Balogun Street.
The maximum I will spend on fuel so on throw was 4,000.
On Balogun and Broad, Wednesdays at 5.
Lagos, I was taking you around the world in 2 minutes and brought you back here. Now it's time for the realest business show on radio. On Balogun and Broad, we talk about the issues in the news that affect businesses of all sizes. We talk about how these issues affect these businesses. And we talk about the people who work for these businesses or who own these businesses and how those issues in the news affect them. Now, what changes should the CBN make to monetary policy? What changes should the finance ministry make to fiscal policy? We're looking at two macroeconomic issues on the show today that have an effect on everybody's business, right? So you have the exchange rate, you have the federal debt, which brings me to our business hard fact. According to the Federal Ministry of Finance, the federal government's debt servicing payments between January and April were higher than revenues. That means that every naira and dollar that the federal government made in the first 4 months of this year went to paying back debts that they were owing before. That also means that any money the federal government spent in those 4 months on anything else came from new debt. So salaries, capital projects, overhead, school feeding, all those things, all of that from more debt. The Economist Intelligence Unit says that the federal government's debt servicing to revenue ratio is 118%, the worst in the world. And that's just the fiscal side, though. On the monetary side, we're seeing a naira that keeps falling. So today, let's talk about why we're having these issues. Then let's talk about what the options are for the central bank and for the finance ministry. Do they have options? Is this situation salvageable? My first guest is an analyst with SBM Intelligence, Ese Okila. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening, Sandra. Good evening, Lagos. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to Balogun and Broad on Hard Facts. My second guest is a senior development analyst for Steers, Gbemisola Alonge. She's a friend of the show. Welcome back to Balogun and Broad.
Hi, Sandra. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Lagos, we want to hear from you as well. I want to hear your questions about the CBN's monetary policy. I want to have your questions about the exchange rate, the budget deficit, the debt servicing bill, all of that. Women, call us on 01465-7190. Men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. For most of this year, oil prices have been soaring, right? Because of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Usually when oil prices go up, we see federal revenues go up. That's what usually happens. And that often helps with the fiscal situation. On the monetary side, we also see the naira go up because we're getting more forex from oil exports. But this time around, SA, in the middle of an oil boom, SA, we're seeing both a weakness in the naira, so a weakening naira and worsening federal finances. What's going on, SA?
Yeah, Sandra, you're right. Typically, since the increase in oil prices as a result of the supply output delay due to the Russian-Ukraine crisis, oil prices have begun to surge. And expected, Nigeria as an oil-producing nation is expected to benefit from that, but we're seeing the reverse. And the reason being that, one, we have issues around production numbers. Now, post-selling of our oils, we also have issues around payment of fuel subsidies. So now, you know, oil prices are determined by international markets. So as the oil prices are going up, since we are an oil refined importing nation, in that we export our raw crude oil and import PMS into the country, and the federal government has chosen upon itself to fix the selling price of PMS in the country, as such, make payment for fuel subsidy. So due to the increase in oil prices, the NNPC have begun to see increase in payment of fuel subsidies in the country. And that has resulted in non-remittance of FX, right, into the excess crude account by the NNPC, or contribution into the monthly FAC allocations that state and federal government, as well as oil producing nations, benefit from. If you look at the report that you rightly mentioned, we could see that fuel subsidy has increased from 2020 to 2022 from 35 billion to a whopping sum of 4 trillion naira just between January and May in 2022, and it's still going to, they're still going to make more subsidy payments. So that's one of the challenges we're having with regards to non-benefiting from this oil boom by Nigeria. And with regards to FX, a major contributor to FX in the country is the NNPC through oil receipts, right? We're not an exporting nation. As such, our ability to gain foreign exchange currencies is slim. We get that mainly from oil receipts. And since the foreign currencies we get, we use that in paying for subsidy, we're unable to reap any benefit from that. FX, Naira devaluation is ongoing strictly because of two things, right? Firstly, you understand that the CBN, as much as it's meant to regulate the market, has also taken on board itself as a control measure, in that it fixes the rate in the market and doesn't really give room for market dynamics to determine the FX rate. And we understand that from the production perspective, manufacturers need FX to import goods for them to manufacture products. I also look at it from the service perspective, where we have a lot of Nigerians seeking for vacations abroad, people going for education tours, medical tours, and they need FX. Last year, in May, the CBN came out to ban BDCs, in that it no longer sells FX to the BDCs, right? And however, it's been unable to meet that demand that Nigerians need for FX. Further to that, it has also given some directive or guidelines that has now increased speculations in the market that is causing this increase.
It's free fall.
In Naira against the dollar. Yes, right. Exactly. Right. So they've already given an announcement to say by December, students can no longer access FX and have to look for it for alternative. So that speculation alone is allowing people now ramp up to say, we need to gather, because by December, by November, there'll be scarcity and the price is likely to go up. So you're giving more power to black market operators and to illegal BDCs still operating in the market.
Bemi, I asked what's going on, and I think SA covered most of it, but I wonder if you think she left anything out. Bemi Sola.
Yeah, she actually did cover most of it. But just to add, one of the reasons why the NNPC isn't remitting as much as they should to the federal government and states is also because of vandalism and theft of oil in Nigeria. It's the worst it has ever been. So we have a situation where, you know, Nigeria isn't producing as much as it should because most of the oil is going to theft. In fact, in the recent presentation by the Minister of Finance on the medium term economic plan and just the budget performance from January to April, we see that the highest we produced, or the highest crude oil that we exported this year, was 1.4 barrels per day.
Right.
This is the lowest it has been since for the longest time.
Why do we have the worst sieving of the oil now than we've ever had? What has changed? What's different now that wasn't there before?
I think it's just a case of people, the government letting things fester for too long. And now it has just gotten worse. Last week, it was announced that the Trans-Niger pipeline, which is one of the largest pipelines that carries crude oil across the country, has dried up. In quotes, that what that means is that they're no longer passing crude oil through it because of the theft. So that pipeline alone transports 10% of our usual crude oil exports. This year, it has transported 15%. Of our crude oil exports. And imagine such a, you know, strategic and very important asset being closed down just because of thieves and just because of crude oil theft and all that. That means that the scale of the theft has just gotten worse. And I think it's just lack of security. This same crude oil theft is what chased the likes of Shell and Mobil away from like the country, caused them to divest their investments in this country because it was just becoming increasingly expensive to continue producing in Nigeria. So things like that, you know, cast a really dark shadow, and that has prevented us from selling as much as we should. And then when, by the time you couple low production, low earnings with, you know, high subsidies that's caused by the high prices, we're not earning as much as we should, and we're spending more than we should.
Okay. Now, let me stay with you, Bemisola, on the monetary policy part of this conversation, the Naira and monetary policy. So we'll stay there for a bit, then we'll move on to deficit and fiscal policy. I want you to educate us about something, right? A weak currency isn't necessarily a bad thing. In fact, you have countries like South Korea, for instance, who have very strong economies, but a currency that is very weak against the dollar. You also have countries like China who have been accused of keeping their currency weak so that they can help with their exports. So tell us, teach us, under what circumstances is a weak currency an advantage? And in what circumstances is a strong currency a disadvantage?
Okay. A weak currency is an advantage. So let me start by explaining what, I guess, a weak currency versus a strong currency is. So a weak currency is when you're exchanging your local currency for more of an international currency. So let's say you want to buy a dollar, for instance. The way, I mean, in 2015 or 2014, $1, you could exchange $1 for about 150 naira. I hope I'm getting that correctly. And today it's, you know, in the parallel market, it's 700 naira. That means the naira has weakened or has depreciated or has been devalued over the years. Mm. So that's an example of a weak currency. When you have a weak currency, that means that when you're exporting goods, people who want to buy your goods basically have to buy, because if they're buying your goods, they're exchanging naira, they're giving you dollars for naira. So it's cheaper for them to buy your goods, right? So a weak currency is good when you have a lot to export, when you want to make your goods competitive in the markets. You want, you know, to basically amass a lot of the market share. Mm. That's when a weak currency is good. A strong, and in that same case as well, a strong currency is a disadvantage because if you want to push out a lot of your goods, the countries that you mentioned, like China, for instance, is a manufacturing giant, is the largest manufacturer in the world. So China would want its currency, would want people to exchange its currency at least against the dollar for less. So they don't want people to be discouraged by the exchange rates, you know, when they're selling their goods. So that's when a weak currency is good. In Nigeria's case, however, you know, most of what we export is, I mean, crude oil makes up over 90% of our exports. Mm. So if you're not exporting crude oil, you're not exactly enjoying the benefits of this weak currency. I mean, we also have things like agri produce and some other manufactured goods that we actually produce and export. But I mean, crude oil takes up 90%. So that means that, you know, we're not really enjoying the benefits of this weak currency.
I see. Lagos, don't forget, you can join the conversation by giving us a call on 0700-993-993-993. Is Nigeria in a position to take advantage of a weakening Naira, maybe for improved exports, for example? If you say we are, why are we? If we say we're not, why are we not?
There's never a good time for us not to position ourselves for taking advantage of the current weak currency that we have. But unfortunately, we've always found ourselves in a position where our crises always go to waste. We allowed COVID-19 crisis to go to waste.
Okay.
The current crisis that Russia-Ukraine has brought up has obviously gone to waste. And hopefully further crises that will come up in the future do not go to waste. But in terms of taking advantage of our current status, as Bamsola rightly said, a weak currency for an exporting nation puts you at an advantageous position for you to take a good size of the export market share. So in terms of exporting, we should always diversify. Is not a word that we think we use too often, but do not really put into practice. We are still highly dependent on oil exports, where there are other products that we can export. The Russia-Ukraine crisis led to a wheat
shortage.
Supply gap.
Right.
And looking at our import status for wheat, where we have capacity to even produce, 99% of our wheat produce are actually imported into the country.
Right.
We talk about agriculture, right? Exporting agricultural produce. But there's still a fundamental issues that if we do not address, we're unable to take advantage of this opportunity, which is security.
Right.
We're talking about agriculture. The security architecture in the country is so bad that even internally, we're already facing internal food inflations where farmers can no longer access their farms. Where you even want to export your product, we have issues in the ports, where you find out that your goods sit at the port for a longer period of time,
right,
and they end up getting expired or no longer up to standard when they get to the end users. So there are a lot of internal challenges that we still need to tackle before we take advantage of these opportunities.
Right.
Can we? Yes, we can. But if there's no political will to do that, we will still keep on having this conversation year in, year out.
Bemisola, Central Bank has blamed online and offline BDCs for Naira's slide. But I quite remember that there was a time when, and you mentioned it a few minutes ago, when Naira to a dollar was 80 Naira, was 150 Naira even, and the difference between the black market rate and the official rate was give or take 1 Naira or 2 Naira or, more or less, So you hear the central bank then say online or offline BDCs are to blame for the Naira slide. I have to ask, Bemisola, how much merit is there to this?
So it's not exactly inaccurate. Okay. However, I wouldn't blame the online or offline players, right?
Okay.
They themselves are reacting to situations on ground, right? So an example I'll give would be last year when the CBN ban was quite stern on Aboki FX,
right,
and blamed Aboki FX for the continuous increase. That in itself, so one thing that, and we've written about this severally at Stairs, one big thing, a big trigger for policies or people's reactions to policies is expectation. If the central bank governor is coming out to say that the mere reporting of parallel market rates is big enough to influence the actual exchange rates in the country, that means that your foreign reserves are not strong enough to hold it down, or they're just extra forces beyond your control, right? And that's not a good look. Once people hear it, like I think SA mentioned this earlier, the CBN's announcement, the CBN governor's announcement last week of how trying to prevent people from buying dollars for election campaigning and and things like that was another trigger, right? When people, when the governor is saying, you know what, we're going to ban this or we're going to stop that, it's signaling to you and me or investors that liquidity is a problem, yeah. And that causes them to react.
Right.
When you hear that the CBN is banning something, if you hear that the CBN is banning BDCs, it causes you to, or is preventing, is not supplying BDCs foreign exchange, it causes you to react. And that reaction in itself is almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. The CBN is saying, oh, this is causing the Naira to depreciate, and then, you know, the Naira eventually depreciates because people start to panic buy. That was what we saw 2 weeks ago last week. And that's what we'll continue to see if the CBN governor continues to trigger these reactions with announcements and bans and more stern policies. I don't think it's the I don't think it's the online and offline parties themselves as much as it's the expectation as a result of the CBN's reaction to these online and offline parties.
Esse, do you agree or disagree?
I actually do agree with what she's saying, and if I may add, I think the regulators, the CBN, needs to stop this blame game conversation.
Okay.
There's an issue on ground, trying to push the blame. You are the regulator. This is your market. You should guide activities in the market. And wherein players in the market are defaulting, and you as a regulator is trying to say ABC is not acting right, what are you doing in terms of curtailing their actions? These infractions, how are you ensuring their consequences be meted? Right. When you talked about the ban in 2021, I think we all knew it was not going to achieve the desired outcomes, because this is one of too many bans that the CBN keep on placing a ban on BDC. And every time I hear that information, I ask myself, so what time did they lift the ban that they are placing another ban on BDC? And up to today, Sandra, you and I know these guys are still operating. So it's more about putting policies in place to checkmate activities and ensure that the dynamics of demand and supply is balanced. There's nothing the CBN can do about it. And the panic buying will still happen as far as the CBN governor keeps on giving this information to the public. Panic buying will happen. Supply will sometimes outweigh demand. Demand will sometimes outweigh supply. It's a given. But how do you put cushion measures in place to ensure that when these incidents happen, it doesn't necessarily affect the value of your currency? That should be the conversation, not about who is at fault or who has done what that is resulting to this action. I don't care about that.
Okay.
I want to be able to get access to FX when I want to. That's what every Nigerian wants, not about what the CBN governor is saying. So you tell me that it's the BDC's fault or the black market operators. To what end?
Esse, very strong words. All right, Lagos, if you just tuned in, I've got Esse on the show with me. Esse is an analyst with SBM Intelligence. We also have Gbemisola Alonge on the show. She's a senior development analyst for Steers. And together we are trying to make sense of, CBN's monetary policy. We're taking a look as well at Nigeria's fiscal situation at the moment. So we're talking about monetary policy on the one side. We're talking about a fiscal policy on the other side. We'll take a break now, but when we come back, I will be asking my guests what they'll be doing differently. So say they were the CBN governor, you know, what would they be doing differently? We've got information to share with you, yes?
The debaters are ready.
My name is Ajikede Barak.
My name is Anna Rabo.
My name is Brian McClements.
My name is Ola Princess.
The panel of judges are ready.
The judges have decided.
The prize money is ready. 1 million Naira.
There's only one question left, Lagos.
Are you, the audience, ready? It's the August edition of the I Beg to Differ debate tournament.
In my research, Nigeria sets out an increasing number of skilled workers.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, your moderator. Join me from August 8th as the best student debaters go head to head.
There are different safety measures that Okada riders do flood.
Weekdays at 4 on 99.3 Nigeria Info FM. This tournament is supported by Webster University, RLG Communications, obwizi.com, Booker Hot, and Storm Body Spray. If you earn a living,
You probably own a business, work for one, or want to start one. Business is central to your life. But do most business shows really speak to you?
Today on the show, the billion-dollar valuation of
Balogun and Broad does. Let's talk about the stock market and Alaba market. Let's talk about share IPOs and diesel supply LPOs. Let's talk about Broad Street.
The Nigeria Stock Exchange recorded an all-time high of
and Balogun Street.
The maximum I'll spend on fuels on fro was 4,000.
On Balogun and Broad, Wednesdays at 5.
What changes should the CBN make to monetary policy? What changes should the finance ministry make to fiscal policy? Helping us answer those questions are Ese Oikala from SBM Intelligence. She's a senior analyst there. We also have senior development analyst for Steers, Gbemisola Alonge. And today they've told us so much. And I told them that when we came back from the break, I would love to hear what they would be doing differently if they were currently the governors of the CBN. So I'll start with Gbemi and then I'll come to Ese. Gbemi?
Okay. First, disclaimer, running Nigeria or anything that has to do with Nigeria is no easy feat. So yeah. Before I say what my solutions would be, yes, just acknowledge that. But the issue with Nigeria's FX situation right now is a liquidity problem and an inflow problem. So the CBN, we had already mentioned earlier that, you know, crude oil is a major contributor to foreign exchange in Nigeria. The CBN cannot go and solve the theft issues in the Niger Delta. So that's not the CBN's purview. However, one big thing that the CBN can do is manage liquidity. And this can be done by slowly removing the peg on the exchange rates. Nigeria cannot maintain a managed exchange rate, but as far as we're concerned, it's more or less fixed, right? We cannot continue to manage a fixed exchange rate system. It's not sustainable. Countries that have fixed exchange rate systems have huge foreign exchange reserves that they're able to use to back up these fixed exchange rates. So to maintain the exchange rate at a certain level, you need to be able to pump in money when the demand is high, right? And you need to have a continuous inflow of foreign exchange into your economy. We don't have that, so we cannot continue to, you know, maintain it. And one big thing about one sort of effect of this managed exchange rate system is that it prevents, you know, people, investors, from knowing what rates to use. Today, the exchange rates, official rates are like 415 and 420. And parallel market rate is practically 700 naira. So the difference is just too much. And when, we saw in 2020, when investors tried to get their money out of the country, they had to wait, because there was no liquidity, there was no foreign exchange liquidity. It took, for some of them, they even started buying, they started investing in some stocks where they could now transfer their stocks to other stock exchanges. So stocks in companies like Seplat, where they could now, you know, get their money from the London Stock Exchange. So things like that are just too much. But if you have a flexible exchange rate system, people know at every point in time what the exchange rate is, or at least they can sort of predict what the exchange rate would be over time, and that helps investments. What that does it as well is that it allows people, it gives people the confidence to bring in their money. As an investor, you would eagerly bring in your foreign exchange without the fear of the CBN saying, oh, there's no Forex right now, you can't take your money out and all that. So it also helps, you know, inflow of Forex, right? It's also important that the CBN sort of communicate this liquidity. It's not enough to have it, but if you come out and say, oh, you're banning BDCs, or you're going to stop giving banks foreign exchange because you don't want the exchange rate to go out of hand, it communicates that there's a problem with liquidity, and that just causes people to panic. In 2012, and I just want to give an example of how powerful a central bank governor's words can be. In 2012, when there was the Euro crisis, the EU crisis, right? all the central bank governor at the time, Mario Draghi, had to say was the central bank would do whatever it takes. So he was like, the ECB would do whatever it takes to, you know, defend the euro. And investors believed, they didn't even know what the central bank was going to do. But then there was an inflow of demand for ECB securities. And that just caused, you know, it was almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. Eventually, you know, the economy stabilized again. So all I'm saying is that if the CBN continues to come out and communicate indirectly that there is a problem with foreign exchange liquidity, investors will run away because no one wants to put their money in an economy where they will not be able to take their money out when they feel like it. So another thing is the CBN needs to stop funding the federal government. Like, it's time to let the federal government go, because what that does is, with Nigeria's ballooning debt profile, it reduces our credit risk, our credit rating. If investors think that your country has a shaky credit rating, they would not invest, right? So if you continue funding the federal government, the credit rating continues to drop. Investors will not invest in the country's securities. Not only in the country's security, not only in the government securities or the CBN securities, but also in individual companies. Because if they fear that your government will not be able to pay, then they fear that the country will go into a recession or will go into a downturn and things like that. And they don't want to put their money in places where, you know, the economy is going down. So if the CBN continues to fund the government, I mean, we're already talking about a debt service to revenue ratio that is above 100%. These are signs of distress. If the government continues, and it also toys with the independence of the CBN. Mm. It also feels like the CBN is not detached from the government. Mm. If the CBN is not detached from the government, then it becomes politicized. The CBN is supposed to be an independent body. It's supposed to be independent of the federal government. Right. And it's not supposed to be, you know, pouring into the federal government the way it has. Mm. So it's time to let the federal government...
Let it go. Break up with it.
Let it go.
Break up.
Right? Because it's just making the economy... So those are the two major things. You know, fix the liquidity problem by letting the... I mean, obviously, they wouldn't let the peg go immediately. But, you know, let's start approaching a flexible exchange rate system.
Of course.
And then communicate this liquidity. Communicate it. Let people think or know. I mean, even if... Let people think that there's liquidity. Let investors, you know, think that there's liquidity and they can take their money out whenever they want and they would bring their money. And then finally, let the federal government go. Stop funding it. It's time for them to go.
Essay, what would you do differently?
What would I do differently? I think I buy the idea of Ogbemisola with regards to harmonization of the exchange rates. We have the official and the power market. Harmonization of the exchange is very key. But there are four major sources where I think we earn foreign exchange, even though we've strongly relied on one of the four. We can get it from our oil exports, non-oil exports, from our diaspora remittances that's continued to dwindle, as well as from foreign direct or portfolio investment. And from what Bemi has rightly said, part of the activities of the CBN right in the market has led to a decline of FDIs and FPIs in the country. We've not really opened up to improve exports of non-oil produce. But I think another area we should also look at is around diaspora remittances. That's one way we are able to generate earnings, and we're really slacking in that area and are really giving room for peer-to-peer exchange. So for me, in addition to what Amy has said, is about putting policies in place to improve formal inflow of FX, right, into the country. So instead of an estate in Europe, right, in China or in Germany, giving someone euro in exchange of a naira transaction in Nigeria, she's able to bring in the currency into through the formal channel, and the recipients should be able to access the currency. But however, whichever solution we put into perspective, if fundamental infrastructure issues are not tackled in the country, we can only just be giving out solutions. So even issues around security, issues around improved business environment, issues around policy uncertainty, where people play in the market are not sure what policies regulators will come up tomorrow with. If we have all these issues in place, the traction we would get from these suggestions would not be as by expectations. So there are still other fundamental issues that the CBN needs to work with the government to put in place in order for them to achieve their desired goal. And very key is removing their hand from the market and taking on that role. I would personally remove my hand from the market and take on that role as a regulator of the market and allow market dynamics to determine the rates of FX day in, day out. Let market dynamics determine that. Let it not be from the CBN to put cap around what should be tradable in the market.
Let me stay with you a bit, SA. You know, a lot of analysts have accused the CBN of essentially printing money, quote unquote, to help the federal government fund its budgets year after year. How much truth is there to this, and how much has it contributed to the devaluation of the Naira?
Obviously, CBN would come out to tell you they've been printing currencies, but if you look at activities, but we're able to get that information through monitoring the ways and means advances that the CBN gives to the government. And if you look at recent budget analysis released from last quarter, even through Q3, they've carefully been silent around ways and means advances because of the highlights it got from analysts like ourselves, you know, bringing that into the force. So yes, it has in a way contributed to the devaluation of the Naira. I wouldn't say it hasn't. It has had its own fair share of the devaluation issues we're having amongst other issues that the country is facing. For me personally, the thing around...
We seem to have lost the connection to SA there, which brings me to my next question. And Wemi, I'm going to be asking you this one. We're seeing the CBN take steps to control the supply of Forex. You've both mentioned this, Wemi Sola. And they're doing this in the hopes of stabilizing the Naira, right? So, for example, you talked about, you know, the rumors about school fees in December. We've seen very low limits on dollar-denominated cards. Can these moves stop the Naira's fall? And if they can, will they do it in a way that outweighs the damage to commerce?
No, it cannot. It cannot stop.
That's a very straightforward answer.
especially not for... So, I mean, not to be so straightforward. Especially not for the... parallel market rates. It would for the official rates, you know, it would stop. It might, you know, prevent the decline because if the CBN is only supplying dollars to the to the people in the INA window, then you know we can maintain the exchange rate at the rate it's at. So if the CBN is making these moves to just stop or to maintain the exchange rates in the INA window, the official exchange rates, then definitely it can you know, help prevent the free fall of Naira. However, the real exchange rate is the exchange rate that's reflective of the demand and supply of, you know, the foreign exchange in Nigeria. Is the exchange rate that is reflective of how much people are willing to buy dollars in Nigeria. And I mean, calculating real exchange rates is very long. So the closest thing, however, is the parallel market rates, right? So all these things that the government, all these policies that the CBN is putting in place to prevent, you know, demand for dollars would definitely keep theirs stable, but then would continue to force a search for an alternative. And that search for the alternative is causing the parallel market rate to continue to rise, is causing people to, you know, panic buy. It's almost like the same way we saw in 2020 in the US and in some parts of Nigeria as well, before the lockdown was announced in some parts of Nigeria and the US. People were panic buying. people were panic buying hand sanitizers, they were panic buying tissue paper and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, right? If you know that you would find, like, to get the dollar, if you think that dollars will be so scarce in December that you will not be able to pay, or in September you won't be able to pay school fees, or you won't be able to travel, I mean, the wise thing to do is to buy it now, right? So both the people who need it today and people who are panic buying and people who are just buying in the hopes that, you know, when it increases, they can then sell, and all those other things is what's causing. So that's what I said about communication. If the CBN continues to communicate indirectly that liquidity is a problem, people would continue to panic buy and the exchange rates would continue to rise.
All right, we don't want that. Lagos, join the conversation at this point. I know we didn't get to the fiscal part of this conversation, but I think I'm going to drag my guests back into the studio next Wednesday so that we can move to the fiscal policy part of this conversation, because for years the federal government's borrowing and its debt servicing have been increasing. Whenever anybody raised an alarm, the government will say our debt to GDP ratio is still low. We're good, you know? So next week, we'll talk about all of that. We'll talk about federal fiscal responsibility guidelines that should stop the federal government from borrowing beyond particular threshold. We'll talk about how serious of a problem this thing is that debt service payments have gotten to 118%. But now let's have you join the conversation. Women, call us on 01465-7190. Men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. Dio says, so one of the reasons the CBN governor gave for depreciation of the Naira is Nigerians getting forex from black markets at its rate. My questions are elementary. Novice-like, perhaps. Where and how can Nigerians get forex at the legal rate of CBN? And how easy is it? Dio with that question there. Who wants to take that question from Dio? Gbemi, Ese?
Okay, I can take it.
All right.
So basically, Dio, the CBN doesn't want you to buy dollars if you don't need to buy dollars. And you only, according to the CBN, the only official reasons to buy dollars is if you're importing things that the CBN sees as legal. That means it will not be on the CBN's 41 list of prohibited items. Mm. That means you're not importing maize or rice, or you're not importing things that, you know, CBN says you shouldn't import.
Mm.
CBN will also only give you dollars maybe if you're paying school fees, if you're traveling, of which, I mean, PTA now might be difficult to get. Some banks actually don't have enough dollars, so they just won't give.
Mm.
And if you're maybe going for like a medical issue, if you're going for medical tourism, there are a list of things, like official reasons. However, if you want to buy dollars to keep, if you want to buy dollars, maybe you're traveling next year and you think, okay, before, you know, the exchange rate becomes 1,500, let me buy my dollars now. CBN will not give you dollars. So, I mean, there are official sources, there are official channels, there are different forms that CBN expects people to obtain to get dollars for these different, in quote, legal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, the CBN doesn't want you to hoard dollars.
Muhyiddin says, we keep talking about monetary policy of CBN. What about the fiscal policy of the finance ministry? Like I said, we're going to have to move that part of the conversation to the next week, because there's obviously no time to get into it right now. I have only 1 hour. There's only so much you can do in an hour. We've got you know, other people who are trying to call into the show, but unfortunately we're even completely out of time. It's 5:53 right now. We have to take a break, and when we come back, it'll be time for the news. Well, Bemisola Alonge, thank you so much for joining us. Ese Ohikala, thank you so much for joining us as well. Ese is
an analyst
with SBM Intelligence. Bemisola is a senior development analyst for Steers. Ladies, thank you for your time. I hope I will have you on again next Wednesday. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I'm happy to join you.
All right, great. Yeah. Have yourselves a fantastic week. That's all the time I have, Lagos. Tomorrow, the Ekweremadus will be back in court, and we're going to see what the updates are on that story. So you want to hear what's happening with that case? Keep a date with me from 5 p.m. tomorrow from 3 o'clock. As always, we're going to bring you the big three. So three of the biggest stories that break tomorrow, we'll cover them right here on the big three on Hard Facts from 3 p.m. Coming up is the news at 6. When the news is done, if you want to export, so I've just had a conversation with two brilliant women about Forex, about monetary policy. We didn't get to fiscal policy, but you've just had all of those conversations, right? And one of them said, we need to diversify our exports. Now, you want to start exporting stuff. We have people who will join us on the show today from 6:15 to talk to you about going global with your business. I am Sandra Ezekwesili on social media, S. Ezekwesili everywhere. Those were your Hard Facts. Lagos, good night.